Tonight, I want to share a simple message with you about the call of God. You know, the Christian life actually starts with a call. Jesus said in Luke 5:32, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know what? He calls us at our very worst. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He calls us to himself to receive the gift of eternal life, to receive that gift of salvation. But he also calls us to serve him. He calls us to the cause of Christ. He calls us to minister to others. Each of us has been made by God with unique abilities and giftings, and there are calls, things that God intends for us to do that are just as unique as we are. Each and every one of us, he has gifted us for the call that he has for us to fulfill. There's no accidents with God. God has a purpose for every single one of us. And if we don't answer his call, we miss that purpose. We miss the joy and the fulfillment of doing his work and his will in and through our lives. I remember when the Lord called me into ministry. I was 18 years old and I had totally committed my life to the Lord just a few months before. And I had the opportunity to participate in what they called a lay witness mission. And basically what happened was is that some people from our church, you know, especially some of the younger people, we went to another church that was kind of struggling, and we ministered to their young people. And while we were there, I had the opportunity to pray with a young man to receive the Lord as his Savior. And in that moment that God did a work in his heart, he did a work in my heart, because I knew from that moment forward that I could never be satisfied, never be fulfilled doing anything else. And from that moment forward, I knew that God had called me. Now, I didn't hear an audible voice. I didn't see a vision. There was no burning bushes. None of that happened to me. But it was just something on the inside that I knew that God had called me. I knew that he called me to full-time ministry, and I didn't know what that was going to look like, but I knew that there was a call of God on my life to full-time ministry. And I want to say this very plainly. Not all are called to full-time ministry, but all are called. Listen, there are some that need to answer the call to full-time ministry, and believe it or not, there's not enough, but there's also a great need for those who know they're called just as much to be in the workplace and to be in the home and in the work of the church and everywhere else out in the community. Amen. But here's the point, that we're all called, every single one of us. None of us are too young. God called Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said, "I'm only a child." And God said, "Do not say to me, 'I'm only a child,' because I have called you to be a prophet to the nations." God called Moses when he was 80. Nobody's too old to answer the call of God. Moses answered the call of God and fulfilled that call until he was 120 years old and he died. And I'm just telling you, none of us is too young or too old or too anything else. We need to answer the call of God. You can't really obey the command to love or the commission to go without also answering the call to minister. Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 10 to show us what it is to love our neighbor. It's a story that most of us know. In fact, it's a famous story. A lot of people know the term, the Good Samaritan. They don't even know where it came from, but this is where that phrase came from. It's from the story that Jesus tells about a Samaritan who was a good man. But it goes like this. I'm going to read to you from chapter 10 of Luke, beginning from verse 30. Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And now by chance, a certain priest came down the road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked, passed by on the other side." Now the priest and the Levite, these were the two that were, I guess you might say, were the most qualified. I mean, these were the two that were supposed to be the men of God that, you know, should minister to people and help people and reach out to those in need. Verse 33 tells us, "But a certain Samaritan." You got to understand that to the Jews, the Samaritans, well, they were just not even hardly considered to be human. They just looked at them like dogs. They didn't have any use for a Samaritan at all. And Jesus tells this story about this Samaritan. As he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him into an inn and took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" He said, "He who showed mercy on him." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." I just want you to know that every believer has a call from God to minister to others in some way. You can't minister to everybody. You can't reach everybody. You can't help everybody. But every one of us can minister to somebody and reach somebody, help somebody. See, if we say we love others and that we're fulfilling his commission, without personally answering the call of God, we're like the priest or the Levite that passed by on the other side. We got to answer the call of God to be willing to reach out to people and help people when we can. When that, you know, I wonder if the priest and the Levite said, "Well, that's not my call," as they passed by on the other side. There's a whole lot of that today in church culture. That's not my call. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. Not everybody is called to everything. I get that. Believe me, I get that. I'm not a typical pastor in a lot of ways, and I know that. God didn't gift me in some of the ways that he gifts most pastors, and I understand that. But I also understand that a lot of the time, it's not really that God hasn't called us to that. It's just us not being willing to do what God has put before us and the opportunity that he's given us. A lot of people want to answer the call on their terms instead of on God's terms. But to answer the call of God, you got to get involved where God gives you an opportunity and where he gives you the opportunity to be used. You know, when he calls us to himself, we receive life, but he also calls us to live for him. Luke 9:23-24, Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." What's that mean? That just simply means that when we give up living my life the way I want, that's when we find real life. It's when we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. You know, this is really, really unpopular, and I just keep preaching it all the time, that this is not the pop theology of the day. This is not what you hear, at least not much, on Christian radio. Deny yourself. Nobody wants to hear that. I want to hear, you know, tell myself yes all the time. Deny yourself. Jesus said if you're going to come after him, you're going to have to tell yourself no. And you're going to have to take up that cross daily Listen, that cross is fulfilling the plan and purpose, the call of God in your life. And then he said, follow him. Don't pass by on the other side. Who can I get around today? Who can I pass by? It's who can I minister to today? Now, all of us have some basic responsibilities and requirements that the Lord calls upon us to fulfill. I mean, if you're a husband, I want to tell you, there's a call for you to be a good husband. If you're a wife, you're called to be a good wife. You're called to be a good parent. You're called to be a good worker. I understand those things. Those things are important, you know, as we serve the Lord and we take care of our family and we give to the work of the Lord. All of those things are important, but there's more. See, I believe I'm called to preach, but did you know I'm called to a whole lot more than that? I had a board member tell me years ago, he said, you know, he handed me a paycheck. He said, that's pretty good pay for 45 minutes worth of work, talking about preaching. You know, all I got to say to people like that is, you know what, you ought to be doing it. You just go ahead, jump in, buddy. All I'm saying to you about that, though, is that God has called all of us to more than just, hey, this is my little thing. And this is where a lot of people miss it, is they say, well, you know, this is my niche. This is my thing. You know what? We're called to serve in whatever way God would use us. In fact, this is just me personally. I don't have a word from God on this, so I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this me, all right? I ain't got a whole lot of use for preachers that ain't never cleaned a church toilet. My Savior washed feet. And he said, go and do likewise. We got to be willing to serve in whatever way God presents to us, be willing to do whatever needs to be done. But sometimes we miss the opportunities God brings us because it doesn't suit us. But our attitude should be, Lord, where would you use me? Jesus said the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. There is a great harvest. He's not talking about getting a big crowd out. He's talking about lives being changed. He's talking about people being discipled. But he says the workers are few. There's not enough people that have answered the call of God. Who's going to work with the drug addict? Who's going to work with the alcoholic? Who's going to work with that person that just went through a devastating divorce? Who's going to reach out to the one that just lost their job? Are we going to pass by on the other side? Who's going to befriend the next family that walks through the front doors of our church while some of us are gathered together in our holy huddles with our best friends? Who's going to leave the best friends and go say, hey, I'm going to make some new friends? Oh, man, you know what? That's a whole lot of what really works right there. Because people come here, they didn't just come here to see this old guy preach, I'm telling you. They came here, they want to experience church, and that's a whole lot of what church is. It's these relationships, and we got to answer that call. Don't pass by on the other side. We need more workers, less critics. You can be an art critic. You can be a food critic. You can be a music critic. But they're not supposed to be any church critics. Let me tell you how this is. All of us together, we are the church. It's just you and me. I mean, we're it. Church critics? Why is it always Christians who are church critics? That's crazy. That's like, man, I sure don't like my hands. I hate my hair. That's just dumb. In the body of Christ, people criticizing the church. Here's where it really gets dumb. You don't criticize another man's bride. The church is his bride. He's coming back for this church. It belongs to him. He's the one that's washing the church with the washing of the water of the word, making it holy, without spot, without blemish. But it's his church. Don't speak against the church of Jesus. Say, well, it ain't perfect. Man, don't I know it. I told y'all Sunday, man, if there's something wrong with something, I can tell you what it is. Because I'm a perfectionist. But here's what I know, is that God's working on us, and he didn't ever make anything better by people having a critical, negative spirit. Here's what makes it better, is when people get in and they work and they help and they step into those areas where people need to be served and people need to be ministered to. That's what makes it better. Sometimes, why didn't somebody do this? Because you ain't doing it. Well, you know, big church over there, they got this thing and that thing. Well, we're waiting for you to give $1 million so we can do that. You know, they got their millionaire, step up. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm just being praying for workers. Amen. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest send laborers into the field, workers into the field. So we pray the Lord send workers. Where does the Lord get workers? He calls people. You got to answer the call. You know, if God lays a need on your heart, it's probably you that he wants to use. Some people see a need and they say, hey, somebody ought to do something about that. Let's tell the pastor. Let me tell you the story of four people. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job, and everybody thought that somebody would do it, but nobody did. It ended up that the job wasn't done, and everybody blamed somebody when actually nobody did anything. Yeah, that's the way that goes. I just want to say, we've got a lot of people that really work hard and serve, and I just appreciate you so much and don't say it enough. But, you know, when the Lord puts something on your heart and you do it, you find fulfillment and purpose and joy. I want to give you 10 things about the call of God. I told my wife I was going to give you 10 points tonight. And I could see the panic in her eye, sheer fear. So 10 points, but we're going to go fast, and they're not long, but I think they're important. 10 things about the call of God. When you answer the call of God, it's not always convenient. Don't you hate getting a call right in the middle of dinner? I do. But Jesus missed lunch when he ministered to a woman at the well. His disciples brought back food from town and they said, Lord, eat something. And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, sometimes the call of God can be really inconvenient. It'll mess up your schedule. It'll put you out. If you do anything for God, there's going to come a time sooner or later. I mean, there's some things maybe that don't put a great demand, but sooner or later, the call of God is always going to be inconvenient at some point. And if you're really going to do something for God, I can assure you it's going to put a demand on your time and your energy. It will interfere with your life. Number two, sometimes the call of God is contrary to what you want. It's what Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. It's what he said in Luke 9:23, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. We all know the story of Jonah, a man that got swallowed up by a big fish, and after 3 days, he got spit out on the beach. Can you imagine what he looked like after being in the gut of a fish for 3 days? What he smelled like, I don't know. Teacher was talking about wells one day, and a little girl raised her hand and she said, teacher, Jonah was swallowed by a well and then he came out after 3 days. The teacher said, do you really believe that Jonah was swallowed by a well? And the little girl said, yes, it's in the Bible. Well, the teacher just thought, you know what, I'm gonna teach this little girl something. And so she said, well, how did Jonah survive 3 days in the belly of a whale? The little girl said, well, I don't know, but when I get to heaven, I'll ask him. And the teacher said, well, what if he's not there? And the little girl said, well, then you can ask him. There you go. But why was Jonah in the belly of a whale? God called Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and to preach to those people that they needed to repent because the judgment of God was coming. And here's where it gets weird. Jonah didn't want to do it. He didn't like it that those people, he thought, he was afraid they would repent. And he wanted God to get them. He wanted to see them judged. He wanted to see God get them. You know, there's Christians just like that today. They don't even want to win people. They just want God to get them. God loves them. And it is in his long suffering that he waits and he's patient and he gives them every opportunity and he sends people, he calls people, like Jonah sometimes, but he calls people to go. Jonah, after his 3-day submarine cruise, he got dropped off at Nineveh, and guess what? He was ready to go. You know, at that point, I mean, he had already, you know, he had cried out to God, told God he was ready. And sometimes it may seem hard to answer the call of God and do the will of God. It's harder not to. The way of the transgressor is hard. That's what the Bible says. You know, it's hard sometimes to be a committed Christian. But just always remember, it's a whole lot harder not to. And Jonah figured that out pretty quick. Well, it took him 3 days. I always say it took me about 3 seconds in that gut. But anyway, we got this attitude today. It goes like this. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about working for the Lord. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And here's the thing. Those people always end up doing practically nothing. The call of God is not always comfortable. Peter got a call to go to Cornelius' house to minister to Gentiles. And he just was not ready for that. That was not something that was in his wheelhouse. I mean, to go and minister to Gentiles, that was just not kosher. God showed him a vision 3 times to prepare him and to get him ready to go there to minister to those Gentiles. But God had to get him out of his comfort zone. And a lot of the time when God calls us, he wants to move us out of our comfort zone. It's not just about what we naturally can do and what we feel comfortable doing. We like it that way. What would I feel comfortable doing? But sometimes God wants to move us beyond that. He wants to move us to the place where we are having to rely on him and trust him. You know, he called Peter to go minister to these Gentiles. Let me tell you what that was like for Peter. That was like God calling you to go minister to some Muslims. And some of you are thinking, no way. That's what Peter was thinking. Somebody got to answer that call. He might call you to work with children. Some of you are thinking, no way. He might call you to do something you've never done before. You know, when he called Abraham, he said, I want you to leave all your family and everything you've known. I'm going to take you to a place that you don't know, and I'll show it to you when we get there. He didn't ever know where he's going. You talk about getting out of your comfort zone. But sometimes God just moves us in a place where we are out of our comfort zone, and we just have to trust the Lord. You know, that he wants to enlarge us. He wants to have us do something new. but it requires getting us out of our comfort zone. Four, the call of God many times will lead us into areas beyond our natural ability. Now, this kind of goes along with the comfort zone, but I just want to make this really clear to you. You know, when we are faithful in doing the things that God has given us to do, many times God wants to enlarge us. He wants to move us into areas that we don't really have what it takes. I want to tell you something. See, your shortcomings are not a problem for God. Sometimes your strengths are. Because when we think, I got this, we're trusting in ourselves instead of in God. And the truth is that when it comes to the work of the Lord, when it comes to eternal things, it is what Jesus said in John 15, apart from him, we can do nothing. And so we need to remember, it's not about our abilities, our natural abilities. And many times God takes us beyond our abilities. See, Moses, when God speaks to him from a burning bush, Moses considered himself to be inadequate. He says, I can't speak. I can't do this. How can I be the one to lead God's people? They're not going to listen to me. See, but when we're weak, he's strong. And you're in a good place when you know you can't do it on your own. That's a good place to be. Remember, the priest and the Levite from the story, they were the ones that should have been the most qualified, but they didn't get it done. It was the guy least likely. You ever thought of yourself as the least likely? Guess what? That's not a problem for God. God gets the glory that way. God doesn't call you because you're gifted. In fact, I'm going to just take that across the board. God doesn't call anybody because they're gifted. We got this superstar mentality in our culture, and it just bleeds over into the church culture. No, he gifts people because he calls them. Amen. It's not about our ability. It is about his. It is about the anointing of the Spirit and what God does in and through us. Number five, the call of God will involve work. Here comes that four-letter word, work. Ephesians 4:12 says that God's people are to be equipped, prepared for the work of the ministry. And see, as a pastor, I want to see every born-again Christian being prepared for the and being used of God in effective ministry. Some churches today have enough money flowing that they are moving towards a totally professional ministry where everybody that does anything is paid. And all you got to do is show up and put your money in the offering. In fact, you don't even have to do that. You just set it up online and they'll take care of the rest. You don't have to do anything. I don't ever want to see that day. Because there's something different when you are involved in the work of the ministry and you are doing it as a service unto the Lord. There's something different in your heart. And I'm just telling you that this is the way it's supposed to be, that we are all involved in the work of the ministry. Amen. Work. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. Jesus said, my Father is working until now, and I work also. They work, and we're supposed to work. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God created us for good works. We have some children's workers that work Sunday morning, Sunday night during growth group semesters, and Wednesday night. You know why? Well, one reason is because they want to. They want to serve that way. But I think sometimes it's because there's not enough workers. If some people can do three services or work three times a week, can't a lot more people just do one a week? Just saying. Don't pass by on the other side. answer the call. We got friendly people. And when new people come, I know that there are certain people that are always going to meet them and smile and talk to them. But there is even a greater need, as I said earlier, for somebody to befriend them. I know there's some people that regularly invite people to church. It's just kind of a thing, you know, they kind of got a gift that way and they're good at it and they invite people. But what if everybody invited one person to church this week? I'm just telling you, you see, we need to realize sometimes that it takes work. You just got to do it. Number six, answering the call of God will cost you. Jesus said, count the cost. He's talking about being a disciple, but we need to not be deceived. There is a cost that comes. And to answer the call of God, I'm telling you, you will make personal sacrifices. Sometimes it'll cost you sleep. Man. I know all about that one. Sometimes it'll cost you time. It'll cost you energy. It'll cost you effort. Sometimes it'll cost you money. Sometimes it'll cost you pain. That's right. You do much for God, you're working with people. Sooner or later, you're going to get hurt. But it'll always be worth it. I really believe that, all my heart. Number seven, the call of God is always about the needs of others. The Ninevites needed a prophet named Jonah. The Israelites in Egypt needed a deliverer. His name was Moses. Cornelius' house needed a preacher. His name was Peter. I'm just telling you, the call of God is about ministering to other people. It's about helping other people. It's never about us. It's always about others. You know, when you answer the call, you may just be the answer to somebody else's prayer. See, Cornelius was praying. And God sent Peter. Here's another story from Acts chapter 16, verse 9 and 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. See? They were the answer to somebody else's prayer. And you need to realize sometimes when there's a need, if you got a burden, it's calling out to you. You can't meet every need, but sometimes God puts people in open doors of opportunity in our path. Not so we can say somebody ought to do something, but so we can. Don't pass by on the other side. Number eight, answering the call of God brings a confidence. I don't know the future, but I know the one who does. I don't know exactly how everything is going to go, but I know that God does. Romans 8:28 tells us what we do know. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. See, people like to leave that last part off and just say, oh, well, God works everything together for our good, period. No, to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. It's not just everybody. It's those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And when you're answering the call of God, you can know with confidence, you know what? It's all going to work out for my good. It's all going to work out. It's going to be all right. Great confidence we can have in the Lord. Amen. We're going to overcome. We're more than conquerors. He always causes us to triumph in Christ because it's not our thing. It's his cause. And he promised victory for his church. So I know. I got great confidence. The church is going to be all right. No matter what comes. Doesn't matter what pandemic. Doesn't matter what kind of economic crash. Doesn't matter. I know the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come out in victory. Amen. Number 9, answering the call requires that we concentrate our focus and attention on what's before us. Not looking back. Looking back will always keep you from doing what God wants to do today and tomorrow. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So, yes, you'll get knocked down. Somebody won't appreciate you. Somebody might even be ugly to you as you were just doing your best to serve the Lord. Let me tell you what to do. Listen, as a fellow laborer and worker, I can tell you, I know exactly what you got to do. Get up and keep going. People didn't call me, and people can't uncall me. And you need to decide that for yourself, because if you do anything for God for very long, sooner or later, somebody's going to hurt your feelings. Somebody's not going to treat you right. In fact, it don't usually take very long. Somebody's going to say something. And I'm just telling you, they didn't call you. I don't even understand that mindset. Well, so, you know, they did this to me, so I'm going to quit. No way. No way. They didn't call you. You keep going on with what God called you, what God gave you to do. You just do your best to serve the Lord. But you got to, don't look back. See, you got to get your eyes off of what happened. Ask God to heal you and to forgive those people and just keep going on serving God, and God will take you on to greater victories ahead. Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Forget about it. Sometimes we even got to forget about yesterday's victories because you just get wrapped up in what happened yesterday instead of seeing what God wants to do today. One of the amazing things about the grace of God, though, is that he also frees us from our past. Because we've all made mistakes. We're all going to make some more. All going to have some failures. But God's not through. Romans 11, 29 tells us the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Messed up, the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. It's irrevocable. Number 10. See, I told you we're going to make it. Answering the call will bring us great reward. Mark 10, 28 through 31, Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." And Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who's left house or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." It's a great investment. It'll cost you up front, but the rewards are tremendous. You just can't ever outgive God. Revelation 22, 12, "And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." There's that four-letter word again. To give to everyone according to his work. Answer the call of God, whatever it is, whatever it is. Every day, "Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I work? How can I serve? Who can I help? Who can I help?" Stand with me. We're going to pray.